Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Got a couple of really exciting events coming up this week that I want to tell you about. Starting with October 8th, Tuesday night, we'll be out at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri for my monthly singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. Bringing along Errant Joe Paddlefoot of the Dead Roses, Doug Burkett of Odds Lane, and Jeff Nations. This is a 7 o'clock start, $10 at the door, and it's going to be a great night. If you haven't been out there, this is a intimate show, three writers sitting on stools, playing acoustic, sharing stories behind all your favorite songs, and it's going to be a great night. So hope you can make it out to that one. And on Friday, October 11th, I will be heading out to Washington, Missouri, hosting a big old rock show out there at Otis Campbell's. With my buddies, Out Amongst the Masses, Man the Helm, Silent Hollow, and 333. This is Gabe Stroop's new project. I'm excited to see the debut live out there at Otis Campbell's. So come on out. That's a $5 cover of that show, 21 and up. And it's going to be a great night of some good St. Louis rock music. So come on by. With all that out of the way, I also want to tell you about my friends at Naked Vine. They've been a big supporter of this show for quite a while now. And swing by and visit them in Chesterfield, Missouri, right over on Clarkson Road. Serving up all the finest wine, whiskey, tequila. And you can come by and visit them for some great live music. Again, we'll be there Tuesday with the Songwriter Showcase. And then on Thursday, Faithful Strays, October 10th. You can come by and see them there. And on Friday, October 11th, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. And Saturday, October 12th, Find a Drive. You can find all this and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, want to give a quick shout out to Heil Sound. They've been part of the show for a while now, too. And making everything sound great. So big thanks to them for their support. And visit HeilSound.com today and pick up yourself a brand new microphone. And also want to say quick thanks to Joseph Meyer Club. You guys have been hearing me talk about them. And they have a wonderful product. I've been using this foaming aftershave. And you should check it out today at JosephMeyerClub.com. And use my code RPPJMC20 for an exclusive 20% off during checkout. There's always free shipping there as well. So keep that in mind. And yeah, get yourself some new aftershave and treat yourself right. Again, thanks to Joseph Meyer Club. All right, everybody, that's it for me. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for the continued support. It really means the world to me. I've been having a ton of fun doing this show, so thank you for everything. If you'd like a hat or a shirt or anything from me, feel free to email me or Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I would love to hear from you, so drop me a line and say hey. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Father Brand Misty. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast, episode number 3722.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Recording today actually at beautiful Off-Broadway with Brandon Karras. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hello.
I think this is, third? I think?
The first two, I don't think they went, they didn't go super well.
Oh yeah?
Because I didn't have, I wasn't front and center, that's why.
Well, no. Now this is solo. We did kind of that we did that one. It was kind of just a group discussion.
Yeah, we did. We didn't. We do one with Fourth City and with Backwash, I believe.
Yeah,
That sounds about right to me.
Well, we did, that was, yeah, we did that one in Gaslight. I was thinking about the one before, I think even before that, we did, it was kind of that crossover episode of the podcast we did.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Actually, did you stick around for that? I don't know.
No,
maybe you had a run. I think
I remember a Gaslight.
Yeah,
there was a ton of like noise and stuff.
Yeah, it's still a fun hangout.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said anything negative about it. That was a bad way to.
it was a fun one though. It definitely got pretty silly.
Yeah. Yes, I remember Matt had a lot of drinks. He had many drinks, and he was just like, you know how he gets. Hopefully, he doesn't listen to this.
And old Neil Suey Luke.
Doesn't help.
Those guys are a couple of characters.
Yes, and I love them both.
Yep,
dearly.
They are a lot of fun. So anyway, that was like a while back. I don't know. I probably should look it up before I press record. But
meh.
Oh well. Anyway, but we're back, and this is I'm excited, man. This is we haven't talked in a while, and I thought this would be fun. And you got a big show coming up, and it's your birthday, and all kinds of fun stuff. We were talking a little bit off mic. You said you've just recently been diving into quite a bit of podcasting.
Pretty much exclusively Harmontown.
Yeah?
Yeah, and now I just want to be Dan Harmon. There's just something about it. He's so honest, you know, and I feel like they keep saying that, how truthful he is and stuff, almost like brutally so, and I admire that. I see that in Father John Misty, who I'm emulating, you know, that, like, brutal honesty, which I feel like we need all the time. I feel like we need it right now. We needed it yesterday. We'll need it tomorrow.
Yeah. So, Dan, just that's what your appeal is, just that he tells it like it is kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like that guy that nobody likes who tells it like it is, you know, all of his supporters, they say he tells it like it is. That's hard to do. I think he just expresses himself even when it's a gross, you know.
Sure.
Even if it's wrong, you know, so telling it maybe like he feels,
right.
I think maybe
okay.
is more accurate.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll have to check it out. I don't know much about that show, but
yeah,
that's what's fun, man. Like I always tell people, like, I get a lot of people asking me about like starting a podcast since I've done a couple episodes of one, and they're you know, that's why what I tell them is that's what's kind of fun about podcasting is really there are no rules to any of it. There's people out there doing a show about everything, whatever you're into. There's probably somebody that's already doing something that
Know,
that you like or whatever it is, and like. So that's what's kind of fun is, like, you can definitely, find your audience out there, whatever it might be, whatever you want to talk about, whatever, you know, if it's you want to talk about cooking or whatever, you can grab a mic, start talking. People are going to, you know, want to listen and talk about that or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, and, like, whenever there's a new medium, you know, it's like the rules aren't made yet.
Right.
And I really love that, and I feel like, applying to music at least, whenever there's like a new medium, like the recording medium, the album medium, you know, maybe even like electronic instruments as a medium, like I feel like that always produces the stuff I like the most, it seems like.
Sure.
You know, when there's just the rules aren't set, you know.
I think it was I saw Kevin Smith, the film producer and stuff, a while back at the pageant, and he said something like that, like that, you know, people always asking him about getting into podcasting or whatever, and he's like, just buy a mic and go do it, because like there are no rules right now, so it's like eventually somebody's going to figure out how to make money off of it or
100%.
Or whatever, try to regulate it and things, but that's what's kind of nice is it's free form, you know, where you can do whatever you want, where, you know, however you want, and it's unregulated right at the moment. So
totally. And just as an aside, thank you for including me in your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Happy to help, man.
Like I commented on the Facebook post, humbled, honored, what did I say, soggy? But that was, you know, that was 100% true. I was telling it like I feel right there. And so I don't. Did you have to drive far to get here? Did I make you drive here?
I mean, I'm pretty used to the drive by now.
I see. I see.
I come down here quite a bit to record.
Yeah.
In the city and all over South St. Louis and I've gone, I mean, I was over in O'Fallon, Illinois the other day.
Oh, man.
I mean, I go all over for the show. And,
well, be careful. Yeah. It can be dangerous. And I think about my impending doom every time I step into a car. Just saying.
Sure. It's kind of part of the process for me, though. You know, I people often, you know, apologize for the drive or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. They feel bad about me traveling that far because I live out in Wentzville. So it's like an hour, you know, 45 minutes to the city for me. And but it's like, again, like I was saying, it's kind of part of the process. It allows me to sort of like, you know, especially if I'm going to meet with somebody and we talk about a record or something, it gives me an opportunity to sit there and actually like listen to it right before we go talk. And it kind of lets me like just kind of open my mind and, you know, like think about what I'm going to talk about, where we're going to go and, you know, that kind of stuff a little bit. So
oh, absolutely.
Allows me that moment, like a kind of a almost a zen like, you know, thing like where I can kind of, for the most part, I mean, if I'm stuck in rush hour, I'm not very zen, but that, you know, cruising down the highway, listening to music is kind of an escape for me and stuff. You know,
oh, absolutely.
For the most part. So.
For me as well. And we need those moments more now than ever. I feel like we're constantly being bombarded with signals and images and stuff. And I feel like that's something we don't do enough as a people,
sure,
is just have those moments where we're alone, you know, where like the sensory input is turned down just a little bit, you know.
And the same thing goes like the opposite of that too. Like sometimes going back to podcasting, like if I've gone to a show and I've listened to like loud rock music all night long, sometimes I like on the way home, I'll put on a podcast or listen to a lot of Howard Stern show and stuff. And like, just listen to a nice conversation instead of loud music. Like it also helps kind of help me regulate a little bit. And then, you know, just another listening to more music and stuff too. So kind of.
I've been into that as well. Just like the sound of people talking.
Right.
I'm like, I can't take in more music right now,
yeah,
you know? Just the sound of it is has become pleasing to me. And I never thought I would really be into podcasts. I was kind of like, I don't really see the appeal too much. I listen to people talk all the time. But the podcast, I guess, is interesting people talking. And not everybody I talk to is interesting, maybe? Nah. To throw some shade at the people of St. Louis?
Right.
No, I love all of you.
You mentioned Father John Misty briefly, and I think we should probably get into some of that. This is... So I guess we'll start with the show. This is on October 10th. You'll be right back here over at Off Broadway, and this will also be your birthday party. And you'll be celebrating your birth that day, and you'll be on stage performing as Father Bran Misty, and you'll have a band with you. This is a $10 cover for the show, and you guys will be playing all Father John Misty songs that evening.
That is correct. I think we have 18 songs going throughout the night with various players and ensembles coming up on stage. I'm super excited. Birthday. I know birthdays, it's kind of like after you turn 30, who gives a fuck? But the way I see it, this can be my excuse. You know, I have an excuse to do this show. It's not that I'm so obsessed with my birthday. It's that I can just be like, please, it's my birthday. Right. Please. You know.
And I think that's an interesting approach, too, that you're playing your birthday party. Like, you know, it's like a lot of people, like, book a show and have, like, people entertain them for their birthday. But you are now entertaining your friends for your birthday and... Which I think is fun, too.
Oh, that has been a running theme or an annual thing. It's like I do that to myself where on my birthday I'll book the three bands that I'm in.
Right.
Invite everybody, get to talk to none of them because I'm so busy all night. I did that, I think, maybe like 2 years ago. Or I did that last year, actually, as well.
Yeah.
We did the Backwash Does the Strokes or whatever. And then we did Father Bran... But then I think I gave myself a little bit of freedom when I booked LS Express, baby.
Right.
So that was actually a great night. I love performing for people, and I do love saying, like, hey, let me come to my birthday and let me give you a present, you know? Let me, like, try and make you happy for a moment.
Yeah. I did a big birthday show. It was for the podcast, but it happened to fall the week of my birthday as well. So I'm like, and that just happened to be the date that was available.
Mm.
But when it landed that way, I was like, hey, cool. And now my birthday party's there too. So, like,
totally.
So I invited a bunch of my friends to come out and celebrate my birthday and the podcast birthday party and all this, and we had a hell of a time, man. Like, but I was hosting. I did some of that, but I didn't, so I was entertaining in a sense, but it was also allowed me to, like, also, go around and thank everybody for coming out and stuff too.
Yeah,
so
mingle.
Right. Enjoy the show, because it was awesome. So
I feel like I should probably be doing that more, just leaning more towards that I'm just the host, and
right.
It's like I introduce the bands and stuff. I have a hard time asking other groups to entertain me or whatever, as much as I'm sure that they would love to, and I'm sure everybody would love to, if I could just get people out or whatever. But it's still a lot of work organizing that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, man.
And so I do admire that. It's like you seem like you're consistently organizing stuff. And when one thing is done, it's sort of on to the next thing, And I think that's great,
Thanks, man. Well,
that's yeah, there's no other solution as far as I'm concerned, because you just have to do stuff you care about.
Right.
Yeah,
man, for sure. Well, you again, October 10th off Broadway. Come on,
October
out.
10th.
Yep. 8 p.m. start.
Father Brand Misty. I know. Thank you so much for, like, hitting that right away, because that's like my focus right now, and I'm trying to do a ton of promotion for it. And in a sense, this is sort of promotion for it, but also, I've wanted to do this for a long time.
Right.
I wanted to talk
to
you. On your podcast that I see this stuff for all the time, and I'm just like, holy crap, he just is so committed, and it's incredible to see, because I think a lot of people, they get discouraged or whatever, and then they, like, they'll do 5 of something or 10 of something, but I love that you just keep doing it. It's like,
oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
There's no other way to beat back the darkness, to beat those jerks, beat those baby boomers, than doing something you love and care about.
Yeah, people
caring about shit.
People have been I've gotten some recognition along the way and stuff doing this, and I think a lot of that I credit a lot of it to just longevity. You're saying, a lot of people do start these podcasts and they're great, and maybe do 5 episodes, like you're saying, and fizzle out, or whatever it might be, whatever their great idea is.
Yeah.
And it's just, they don't stick with it. And I think that's kind of where I've gained some success, is that I've been doing it now for 5.5 years. And recorded this much content. And so, I don't know. So it's cool that people are digging it, man, and keep growing, the show, and keep coming along, joining me in this conversation and learning all this stuff. So I'm just having a blast, man, doing it. I get to meet all kinds of cool people and share their stories and songs. And
well, I will say, any show at Off-Broadway you want to get into, you're in, man.
Yeah.
Sold out, not sold out. Oh, Steve Pullman's not listening. But, you drop my name. You drop
right.
my name. You're in.
Well, you tell me why Father John Misty, how you became connected with this individual.
Can I answer that in sort of a drawn out way by giving maybe some background? Let me give you Father John's story first, and then
that's what a good podcast is for.
Yeah, it'll lean into why I like him. So he was the drummer of Fleet Foxes. I don't know if you know that.
I know the name. I don't think I've ever listened to Fleet Foxes, and and I knew a little bit of his story coming from being involved with them. I didn't know a drummer, but
I loved the Fleet Foxes. I think you should definitely check them out. great like acoustic music and great it sounds like music of the forest, almost medieval sometimes, but also still current and indie and I don't know, really great production and everything. And they were at the height of their popularity, you know, and doing world tours, I'm sure getting paid, selling records and all that, basically the dream of any band. And the story goes that he, as the drummer, was at some festival and he took some psychedelic mushrooms and ended up like naked in a tree, where he realized, he was like, this is not me, you know. It's like, this isn't what I want to be doing, you know. It's like, I don't want to be the drummer in some band. And it's like, as much as it's good and I'm getting paid or whatever, it's like, this isn't what I'm here for, you know. Fuck. And so he quit the band, and as far as I know, when he did, Fleet Foxes kind of just like stopped, you know. They stopped producing stuff, and I don't know if there was some internal drama or if that was even the reason at all, but I do know they took a pretty long, like, 5+ year hiatus. Recently did come out with something in 2017, which is really great. But I guess he, which is kind of odd, like a drummer would have such an impact on a band, you know. But I guess he had, was a big influence on everybody and a big part of it. And he left and was like, wanted to do his own thing. So he made Father John Misty, I guess, which kind of countered the music because he did have a solo career, and that kind of countered what he'd been doing before that, because his solo career was very, like, almost depressing, you know, this, like, singer-songwriter stuff that is beautiful, you know, but it's a downer. It's kind of a downer.
Okay.
And I think he realized that it's like that, what he wasn't being honest in that. And Father John Misty is a way for him to sort of like take the mask off and then look at the mask, you know, and sort of point and laugh at himself, you know, because Father John Misty is not a real person, you know. It's this character he's sort of created that's kind of like a parody of himself, you know. And I think it's a lot easier to explore yourself or to criticize yourself, you know, when you acknowledge that you have this ego, essentially, and to take it off and point at it and laugh at it. And that's kind of what Father John Misty is, or at least was at the beginning. It's getting a little bit too honest these days, to be honest. But I really admired that, and it's something that I feel like I had to go through as well as a person, you know, just destroying your dumb ego that you think you're, you know, the king of the world and everything revolves around you. I definitely feel like I felt that way for a long time, just from, I mean, I can't really point at the cause or whatever. It must be something that I think that we all go through, honestly. And so, yeah. That's sort of what attracted me to him
right
away, you know?
I don't know. I think I might have told you the story. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. But I got to see him live at...
Oh, nice.
At the Fox.
Yeah.
With Alabama Shakes, who I'm a big fan of their music.
Yeah.
And I had actually scored some free tickets that night, so that was even better to get to go to a great show at the Fox for free. And they were, like, great seats, pretty up front there, and like, maybe, whatever, 15 rows back or something like that. And anyway, great night. But I wasn't quite aware of Father John Misty and the character and everything that he's about at the time, and I really didn't enjoy it. Like, yeah. Sonically, like, I thought he sounded great. Like, the band was, like, playing this really cool, like, kind of R&B and soul grooves and stuff, and they, like, everything sounded great, but he was, like, coming off, like, real super sarcastic, and
sounds about right.
Yeah, and I just, like, and I'm, I don't know, like I said, I wasn't in on the joke. I felt like, you know, I was like, the whole time I'm like, what's this dude's deal? Like, you know, I was like, what's going on? I'm like, just felt like I totally went over my head. I missed it. And like, But in turn, like, I've learned a little bit more, like you're saying, some of the fact that he's this character, you know, and everything else, like he's playing on stage, and I've learned some other, I've seen some other stuff of his, and like it's made me appreciate him more, that I do, you know, I'm kind of in on the joke now and stuff, so.
Yeah, that definitely can be a turnoff, and I admittedly, like, hated it at first, you know. When I first heard what he was doing, I was like, who's this guy think he is, right. You know? And he definitely is very polarizing in that way. And unfortunately, I'm, like, attracted to that kind of musician or person or whatever. Like, historically, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, Frank Zappa, who can be very polarizing, both because of the lyrics, you know, and his, like, public views and stuff. You know, Ween, anything that kind of, like, pisses people off. I don't know. I just have respect for it sometimes, where I'm like, you're eliciting emotion from people so strongly. You must be doing something right.
Right.
You know? But, yeah, I really didn't like it at first. I was like, this guy's a pompous jerk.
Right. There's a great Stern line in from Private Parts, where they were talking about, like, the average listeners and stuff, you know, and they were like, the average Stern fan listens 3 hours a day. And he's like, the reason they say they listen is because they want to hear what he's going to say next. The average Stern hater listens 4 hours a day. And reason why? They want to hear what he's going to say next.
Totally.
And it's like, so even though they hate him, they still, you know, still listen and stuff. And they, anyway, it was really a funny line, though. But, like, that's what you're saying. Like, people, even though they hate him, and, like, if you're on, especially in his position, where you're on the radio for 4 hours or 5 hours a day talking, like, you're going to make people happy. You're going to make some set mad. But, you know, you got to be doing something right if they're still listening and they're, you know, and you're invoking that kind of emotion, whether it's, you know, positive or negative. So,
and you kind of have to accept that. It's like, you're never going to please everybody, right. You know. You're never going to, it's like, no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody, you know, that hates it and thinks it sucks and it puts you down and thinks you're a total jerk, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, fortunately, eventually I sort of saw the what he was going for, and I was like, oh, you're in on the joke.
Right.
You're aware that you're coming off like a pompous jerk. And I feel like that's sort of his critique of you know, the music business right now, at least that era. I think he's on to different stuff nowadays. But from what I can tell from that era, maybe when you saw him live, it was kind of like he's the sex symbol, quote unquote.
Mm.
But it's like, that doesn't matter. It's like, you're making music. You're making sound. You know, how sexy you are has nothing to do with the sounds you're emitting, you know? But we, unfortunately, or for better or for worse, I guess, connect to those things, you know, and we would like to put a face to the music, you know, we like to put a personality to the music.
He, I heard a story also that he, I mean, I don't know, he might have been here in St. Louis, or maybe he did it in a bunch of spots in town, but I think he played off Old Rock House, years ago or something now, and he
Firebird, I believe.
He was Firebird,
yeah.
And it was, but anyway, somebody was telling me a story about one of these shows, like, that he, like, that dropped this, like, iPhone screen around him, and he played, and, like, he's like, if everybody wants to watch the show like this, then I'll just make it easier for
snarky.
You.
Snarky.
Yeah.
Snarky. You know?
So I thought that was pretty good, though. I was like, I mean, he's got a point. Why don't we just do that? Why don't we just make the whole stage look like a phone screen and everybody put their damn phone down and stuff? So
yeah, that bit is great, you know? And you know, anytime you can incorporate humor into music, which I think he does really great, really, like, expertly, without making it too, like, hokey.
Right.
Because I feel like really not a lot of people have been able to incorporate humor into music that well, you know. Like I said, Frank Zappa I love, and I think he did it great. And I think Father John, like, that's something that really, when I saw that he was doing that, really, like, turned me on to him. But yeah, that segment was they would bring out this like black rectangle, and then he would stand in the black rectangle and be like, "Here, now I'm in your black rectangle. Are you happy now?" You know, because yeah, I know I don't take pictures or videos at concerts. I think you probably shouldn't, because you should just be paying attention, you know.
And, sure.
You know, I saw King Crimson recently. I know, I'm sorry to go on a tangent, but King Crimson, if you're into that band, their prog rock band from that, you know, reached their peak in the 70s pretty much, but all very talented guys and incredible musicians and stuff, but they made this big stink about no phones, no cameras, no flash photography. You are here, you are in the moment, and you are focusing on what's going on. And if you whip out a phone, you're getting kicked the F out, you right. know? And
I don't know. I mean, I've obviously go to a ton of shows. It's a big part of my life, and I've seen it handled both ways. I've seen it where I went to see Dave Chappelle at the Pageant a couple years ago, and they were big sticklers on it for him because he was getting ready to film all those Netflix specials that he ended up putting out, the first group of them. And so so I get that. Like, you don't want somebody to put your whole show on YouTube before you get to put your show on, you know, Netflix or whatever and everything else. But it was very awkward at the same time as a show, because they had like security guards walking around. You felt like you were in prison, like that, you know, yeah. Like, so the whole time you're just kind of tense. It's hard to really, you know, even if they're not like looking at you directly, but it's like you see them walking by, it's still distracting, you know, so it's hard to stay engaged in the comedy that's going on stage. So
I definitely can feel that. And it's a fine line to cross. It's hard to tell people to shut up,
right.
You know, it's hard to tell people, you know, don't post this on your Instagram or whatever. I mean, because you're happy about it, you know, you want other people to know about it, and I love and respect it. I would never stop people from doing it.
I think a lot of it, though, like, it's gotten to the point where it's not, like, there is no attachment to it, you know. They're not even engaged in the moment that's happening at the time. It's strictly, I think, I feel like people record it just to have that moment to, like, where it's, like, to put it on Facebook or Instagram and be like, look, this is where I was at, you know, like, it's that moment to where it's for your followers or whatever, instead of, but nobody's ever like going back and watching those videos.
Oh, 100%.
And, like, and nobody, even the people that are your fans or friends or whatever are not watching
it. They're not going to appreciate it.
It sounds like shit.
Yeah, I know. And I guess at that point, it's like the posting and the recording, it becomes more about you.
Right.
You know? Becomes more, or me, you know, look where I was, look at the special thing I did, you know, instead of, I mean, I don't want to criticize people, you know, do what you like, but it's like, I find that I have a much better time when my phone's away and when I, because it breaks my focus, you know, it literally like is a problem that it, like, I can't focus and then have it broken and then get right back into it, you know.
I saw Rob Zombie a couple of years ago too. Excuse me, and he said something, and he was a little extreme about it too, but it was funny. But he was like, put your damn phones down. He's like, there's enough shitty videos of this show on YouTube already. So it's like, go, if you want to go watch it that way, do that. Like, but you know. And then he said something like, he's trying to get people to like clap their hands, you know, with the song, and he's like, I'm not starting this fucking song until you all clap your hands or something like that, you know, and they're like, and then people finally start clapping. He goes, I know what it sounds like when you're clapping with one hand because your phone's in your hand or something like, and then he's like, and then these people start clapping finally, and he's like, see people, this was like going to concerts in the 90s and or something like that, you know, so like, he was very, but you know, you can definitely get, I'm sure even as an entertainer, like, it's some of it's got to be sort of flattering, but at the same sense, it's also annoying that people, like, literally, like, the entire front row is just, like, holding their phone in front of their face the whole show, so.
It's free promotion.
Yeah.
But that's a little weird, you know? It's like, I don't want you to be my promoters, you know? I want you to just be in the moment with me.
I hate when I pay, like, $100 for a ticket, though, and I'm standing right behind that guy holding his phone the whole time. It's like, dude, I can watch the show, not watch it through your phone.
It is distracting, you know? So. I am, like, instinctually will look at a screen just because it's there, you know? So,
We sound like a bunch of old men, though. Right?
Yeah, we do. But there's wisdom in age.
Yeah, right.
Fucking fuck you, yeah. Millennium Y. Whatever. Yeah. Or the Generation Y. Oops. Millennials. I think I'm a millennial, probably. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. To the side. That's an aside.
But yeah, I guess let's talk about Father John. That's where that tangent kind of came from, some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's kind of made you appeal to the character of him. But like, as far as sonically with his music and stuff, have you learning an entire set of his music now? Has it made you appreciate more, or what have you learned more about? Trying to study his music and stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know. What's great about his songwriting is there's a lot of like tradition, you know. It's like you can tell who he likes, you know, but he's also not ripping anybody off directly, you know. He gives it all his own spin. It's familiar yet new, you know. I feel like that's the stuff that's easy to get into. But yeah, definitely like has opened my mind towards what is possible when you're putting a group of chords together or whatever. And I mean, obviously the versions we're doing are not nearly as lush as the albums. I mean, the albums, in my opinion, are like masterpieces thus far, at least 3 out of 4 of them. Just because the production's so great, you know, just because like the layering, it's like you can listen to them over and over and you hear new details and you can just really dig in. I love the kind of music that you can hear over and over and you can just like dig deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And yeah, when you try and learn that stuff, it brings it out, you know. You really like, you're like, man, what is this missing? You know, I'm doing everything right. Going through the chord progression, but then you're like, well, that's not what the song is, you know. That's not what the recorded piece is. It's not just those chords on a guitar, you know. It's everything interacting and everything in its place. And I don't know, with his albums you can really tell that there is that attention to detail, you know. There's not a moment wasted, there's not a word wasted, you know. Which is something, I mean, I'm lazy as all hell, you know, and he, like, labors over this stuff, you know, and it shows, and I think that's great. A commitment to excellence is, I just respect that so much, and for a long time I sort of held myself to that standard, but it didn't really make me happy,
mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of having a good time, and being happy about it. And so I don't have a commitment to excellence. Sorry. But I have a commitment to having a good time and letting other people have a good time.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I think that's got its merits. You all know?
Right. So let's talk about some of these people that will be helping you perform some of these songs.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about some of the cast of characters that will be joining you on the stage that night.
Well, you know Mr. Jacob Baxter, right? One of better guitarists in the St. Louis music scene.
Yeah, he's
probably the best at what he does, you know?
Very talented young man. Yep.
You know, and he's a big fan of Father John, as well as I got Neil C. Luke playing the bass. Probably one of my favorite bass players, you know. Again, not a moment wasted, which I love and respect. And Tom Blood, you know, they're sort of like the LS boys. I'm like, mm-hmm. Let me just yank them from Drew Schaefer and make them do my thing. I know, I wish I had, like, you know, when this first started, we were going to have this whole big cast of characters. Neil Salsich, and like I was going to be dipping into all these different scenes and stuff, and that was kind of like my way of promoting it as well. I was like, if I get enough people involved from enough different scenes, then they will tap into their own respective scene, you know, and we'll have like a nice mix of people here, you know, and the word will get spread and stuff. But slowly, one by one, of course, people like dropped out, or I got tired of hounding them and begging them to be a part of this. But I love all of them. They're all super talented people. The people that dropped out, I'm not going to name names. It got a little frustrating sometimes, but where we're at now, yeah, we have Tom Blood, Jacob Baxter, Neil C. Luke. We got Hunter Hamilton, if you know that guy. he's not huge on the music scene as far as I know, but he's doing his thing and he's very talented and he kicked ass in the one rehearsal he came to. We've also got, I've got like two or three ensembles essentially. That's sort of ensemble one. Ensemble number two, Jacob Vai, Caroline Steinkamp. Thank you to you too. Sean Kimball is going to be playing some bass and some acoustic guitar. He's in Brother Lee, you know, as yeah. I'm sure you're aware of.
And Caroline, man, she's so good too.
Like. Yeah, and she's killing it and putting herself out there more, as far as I can tell, you know, because I hadn't really met her or heard a lot about her maybe 6 months, 8 months ago, you know. And so I saw her put herself out there, and I'm like, you two mesh. Sure. You know, let me grab you, you know. And
yeah, Jacob's great. He's another great guitar player also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's going to be another fun lineup.
Yeah, and I was what I wanted. You know, I wanted to, like, channel that music through these guys. I didn't want to make them try and recreate what was already down on the albums. I'm like, that would be impossible, you know. What's there is already so perfect. I wanted to do sort of like the LS Express versions of Father John Misty's music. You know, I want to do the Jacob Vai, Caroline Steinkamp, because they play together. I want to do like their version of the songs and stuff, so that I think we've got some of them are singing lead and stuff. So it's not me doing lead the whole time, you know. Definitely wanted to share the spotlight. But at a certain point, it kind of became like, I just have to step up, because if I don't do that, nobody will. Or, you know, because it's a lot of pressure to be on stage and to be flaunting your thing, you know. So I feel like we've arrived at a really great mix of musicians and spotlight essentially being taken. Like Caroline singing a whole song by herself. Tom Blood's going to be taking lead on a song, you know, because he, like, doesn't really get the chance to very often.
Right.
And I want to share that because I have such a good time doing it, you know? Yeah, I hope they have a good time doing it, too. I hope not forgetting anybody. A couple people that I hit up today just to sort of fill in the tiny little gaps that have arisen from, like, the past 3 or 4 months of people dropping out and people just not being able to do it. I don't want to make it sound like everybody's a jerk or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, that. Yeah, man, that's a killer cast of people for sure.
And yeah. I mean, I'm honored that they're willing to work with me and just sort of like, I keep telling them, I'm like, just hold on because it's going to get good and you're going to get paid some amount of money.
You know? Yeah.
So yeah. Just hang in there, guys. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they have. We're at a great place right now. I'm really happy, and I was freaked out and nervous about it maybe like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just because communication's hard and blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's, I mean, like, you know, a lot of stress, man. A lot of, you know, especially coordinating all these people and then, like, being the promoter and the talent and everything, you know, and everything else. Like, it's just like, I mean, I know I've done my fair share of putting on shows, and like I freak out every time. Like, yeah. You know, I do. The people always show up, but it's like every right before, like an hour before showtime, I'm just like,
no one's coming.
I hope somebody shows up.
I know,
man. It's like, so.
I have been fortunate enough to where maybe just my expectations are so low, but most of the things that I feel like I've really put myself into, that I've showed people that I really care about them, have gotten a good reception. They have gotten a good audience to come out, you know, and I hope that that's the case this time. We'll see, you know. I'm really making it a point because I really do care, and I really want it to be a good show for everybody, and I feel like everybody in the bands sort of feels the same way, which is great that we're all on the same page. It's not like a money gig for these guys. They want to entertain you.
Right.
You.
So come on out again, October 10th, off Broadway, 8 p.m. start, all night with Father Brian Misty.
Yeah, 8 p.m. right away. Yep. Sharp. Yep. Oh my God. Man, I have an alarm.
Oh, time to wake up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe is that a good place to? How long have we been doing this? I feel like we don't need 40. To go crazy with it. Oh, 40.
That
yeah,
feels that, pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
the alarm's going off. That's like ding ding. The gong is being rung right now.
Yep. Well, I did want to squeeze in a plug before we get out of here, though. If you want to check out some of Brandon's original music and stuff, you can check out Backwash. They have a brand new record titled Sonic Chronic 2.0, The Soggy Saga Continues.
Right.
And if you're into any surf rock stuff, this is perfect for you because this record's a ton of fun. Weed Steve is a classic
banger.
It's you know, the family favorite for sure. So check that out. Again, those are available everywhere digitally and whatever, you know, Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or Apple Music or whatever you got going on. So check that out. But yeah, come out and support this show. It's gonna be a fun night, and you could and that's kind of what's fun about these nights too, like this. I mean, like, granted, it's all Father John Misty, but if you're a fan of that, and then you come out and maybe discover some other great St. Louis music, like you said, and like all these people have original music that they're doing
totally.
And stuff. So,
we should sell that.
Yeah, I do. I go to Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players every Wednesday. I work down there at Oyster Bar, so I'm there every Wednesday. But I'm a big fan of what Sean's doing. But that's a lot of what he does too. Every week is bringing in these different people. You know, like mentioning Neil. Mighty Pines play like. And that's kind of, you know, he helped introduce me to Mighty Pines and then helped introduce me to a lot of great St. Louis music, you know, that like a lot of these guys a lot of these different people that play music in town, like, and then they'll come in there and they'll play whatever, you know, Bob Dylan or Bob Marley or whatever or something. And then, like, you know, I was like, man, I like what they're doing. And then, like, you find out they have a whole bunch of original music too.
Totally.
So I think that's the fun about these kind of tribute shows like this and stuff. So.
That's great. Gave me a great idea.
Yeah, man. So again, come on out, and we'll see you all here at Off Broadway. Thanks again to Off Broadway for letting us hang out tonight.
Oh yeah.
And but yeah, Brandon, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you.
And I'll see you soon, my friend.
Wonderful.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.